Genesis chapter 30. The message tonight is Jacob's new service contract to provide for his own family. His old contract ran for 7 years for Rachel, that turned out to be Leah, and then 7 more years for the other daughter. And so it's been 14 years. That was his old contract. But tonight, he's going to have a new contract. Look at verse 25. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, Send me away, that I may go unto my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service wherewith I have served thee. And Laban said unto him, If now I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have divined that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, Appoint thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, Thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle have fared with me, for it was little which you had before I came, and it hath increased into a multitude, and the Lord God hath blessed me, thee, whithersoever I turned. And now, when shall I provide for mine own house also? And he said, What shall I give thee? And Jacob said, Thou shalt give me nothing. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed thy flock and keep it, and I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence every speckled and spotted one, and every black one among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me hereafter, when thou shalt come concerning my hire that is before thee. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats, and black among the sheep, that, if found with me, it shall be counted stolen. And Laban said, Behold, I would it might be according to thy word. Now listen carefully. And he removed that day the he-goat. The he is Laban. Jacob said he would do it, but we'll see in a moment that it's Laban who does it. Verse 35. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-streaked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white in it, and all the black ones among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob. That proves it, between himself and Jacob. So Laban is the one that did all of this. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. And Jacob took him rods of fresh poplar, and of the almond, and of the plane tree, and peeled white streaks in them, and made the white appear, which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled over against the flocks in the gutters, or the troughs, in the watering troughs, where the flocks came to drink. And they conceived when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs, and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-streaked, and all the black in the flock of Laban. And he put his own droves apart, and put them not in Laban's flock. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger of the flock did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the flock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flock were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and had large flocks, and maidservants, and menservants, and camels, and asses. Now I just want to read you in chapter 31, because it seems from verse 37 to the end that all of these stratagems of Jacob get the results that he wanted. But listen to verse 7. And Jacob says, "And your father Laban hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God permitted him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckle shall be thy wages, then all the flock were speckled." Please notice, God did it. Verse 9. "Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me." Look at verse 12. And he said, "Lift up now thine eyes and see. All the he-goats which leap upon the flocks are ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth to thee." Look at verse 16. "For all the riches which God hath taken away from your father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do it." And look at verse 42. "Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, had been with me, surely now hadst thou sent me away empty. God hath seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesternight." God arranges a new contract of service for Jacob with his father-in-law, Laban. It's unbelievable the greed that is in the heart of this man, Laban, the uncle of Jacob, the brother of Rebecca. Do you realize that Jacob has worked 14 years and Laban has been greatly blessed through the labor of Jacob? And after 14 years of work, he has laid aside nothing. 14 years. And what do you have to show for it? Nothing. All Laban gave him was food and shelter and the two wives. And so I've thought about this. Jacob is the one who said, "I will serve thee 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." And this was agreeable to Laban for this reason. If you look, you will see that when a dowry is mentioned for a wife, what a man was to pay for a wife to the father when he was getting married was 50 shekels of silver. Now, we're just estimating now to give you some idea. It speaks in the scripture that one shekel will buy a measure, let us say, a bushel of wheat. So think. Here is a shekel, and it buys a bushel of wheat. And God said, 50 shekels is the amount of money that is to be given for a dowry for a woman. And so here are 50 bushels of wheat, and I would think this. If a man went out and labored from sun up to sundown, certainly he should be given a bushel of wheat for all that labor. And so if this is so, Jacob should have labored 50 days, and then that would have been equivalent to the dowry for a wife, and then Laban should have given him his daughter Rachel. But instead of 50 days, he said, "I will labor 7 years." Well, we could reason this way. Here is this daughter that is so beautiful and so gifted that she is worth not 50 shekels of silver, but all that a man could earn in 7 years. Well, if that were so, still, when he said, you'll have to give me that much service again for Leah as well. However, Laban agreed to it, and with all the labor that Jacob supplied to him, he gave him not one cow, not one sheep, not one goat. Can you imagine such a thing? Here is a father-in-law that is so filled with greed that his son-in-law faithfully serves him for 14 years and he's given him absolutely nothing. Now, when that happens, Jacob has endured these 14 years and he says, I've fulfilled my service, the agreement that we made, and now I want you to give me my wives and my children, and I'm going back home where my father is, where I came from. And then, I have no doubt, this is the first time that Laban has said anything, he says, I see, I divine, that all the blessings that I have are because of you. I didn't have much when you came, but now I have abundance. I understand that all of this is because of your God's blessing upon you, and because of you, who he has blessed me. Now think, a man knowing that and still being so filled with greed, he would give Jacob nothing. So he says to him, now I don't want you to leave me. I want you to continue to work for me. He said, and I want it this time under your own terms. Let us make a new contract of service. Now, what shall I give you? What are your new wages going to be? And it seems as if Jacob, in all his shrewdness, is out of his mind. Because there are many ways to look at this, I'm telling you, having looked at the others, set them aside, this is how I take it to be. Jacob said to Laban, his father-in-law, he said, now, this new contract of service is this. I want you to give me absolutely nothing. He said, but from now on, whenever cattle and sheep and goats are born, I want certain ones that are marked on their bodies, if they come out that way when they're born, I want them to be mine, and everything else shall remain yours. The ones described by Jacob are rare. They come out seldom, and some animals would never have them. And so when Laban hears this, he is thrilled. He says, of course, I'll do that. Now, Jacob had said he was going to go through the flocks. He knew them better than Laban did, and was going to take out all of those, and they were going to be set apart so that they wouldn't come and breed with the cattle that were Laban's. But these odd ones were to be taken out of the flock, and then Jacob is going to start with nothing. And only those that are born and look like these strange speckled and streaked and discolored ones, only those are going to be mine. And so Laban was delighted. He would chuckle within himself and say, Jacob will starve to death, or he will get so little that he will wish he had made some other kind of contract. But so greedy is he that instead of letting Jacob go through his flocks, he personally goes through them and picks out every one like the ones that Jacob is to have, and he turns them over to his sons, and he says, now go with these cattle 3 days' journey. And so That is how much Laban trusted Jacob. He said, there'll be no chance for these to breed with these cattle of mine. And the only ones that Jacob is going to get are those like the ones that you are to take 3 days' journey away. Can you imagine such a man? But that was his father-in-law, Laban. And so Jacob agrees to it. I'm thinking this, and I would mention it. He worked 14 years and had nothing to show for it except his two wives and the children they had borne him. But if you remember in chapter 28, when God appeared to him, he had made an agreement with God. And the agreement was this. He said, if you will be with me and bless me and give me food to drink, food to eat, and clothing to cover me and bring me home safely, then you will be my God. All that he asked for was food and shelter. And so after 14 years, if that is all that he had, that was the agreement that he made with God. But now, Jacob is finally thinking about his life with his family. He has two wives, two concubines, and he has 12 children, 11 sons and one daughter, and another one is going to be born. And so now a man that is 97 years old has to start thinking about providing for his family. And that is what he does. But what must he have in mind to make this new contract of service so severe when it comes to him and so generous when it comes to Laban? Some have looked upon it and said it must have been the faith in Jacob's heart, knowing that God would take care of him. It doesn't say that, but from all the scriptures that we read, and I read you all of those other scriptures, Jacob attributed to God's faithfulness his great success. Now, I want you to understand that when you read the commentaries, they will go into discourses on how, in the East, those that are shepherds and those that take care of cattle, they know how to put colors and arrangements and timing before the cattle and cause them to produce certain cattle the way that they want. You can't prove that. And all of these tricks that Jacob was trying to play, you see, he's getting a rod and he's making it so it looks straight and it's looking white. And so when the animals come and they look at those rods, then it's going to impress their minds, and so when they breed, the cattle are going to come out that way. Such a thought is absurd for this reason. I read you four other scriptures, whatever Jacob may have thought, and also what God has said to others. Here is one that was enriched, and God finally has to say to them, you do not realize that I am the one who enriched you. And so here is Jacob with all of his tricks, but I venture to say that he could have served his father Laban 6 more years or 60 more years, and he never would have accumulated the wealth that he did without the intervention of God. But some people are trying to explain it, but from all the scriptures I've read you, Jacob may have thought it, may have been superstitious, but he says over and over again, and God himself says, I've looked down and seen what's going on, and God himself took care of Jacob. And this is what God will do for his own people. He is not unaware of the way that you're treated. And in the book of James, God is sending out a rebuke upon those that hire people to labor in their vineyards, and then they hold back their wages. And God is one who says concerning the poor, if a man works for you all day, you pay him that night because he doesn't have any money to buy anything to eat. You pay him that night. God is always looking after those that are downtrodden, those that are taken advantage of. And when a man is mistreated, God says this, if that individual cries unto me, he said, I will hear and I will take vengeance on you. So here is this man, Jacob, that is undeserving except for this. For 14 years, he has provided all of this labor and with it the blessing of God upon Laban, and Laban has done nothing for him. There are times when even an agreement that has been made, when you see how the person that's working for you is doing such a good job and how you are becoming wealthy, there should be something in your heart that says, I know the agreement we made together, but I want to give you 6 cattle this year. I want to give you 10 sheep. Why? Look at all the ones that I have. I want you to have these. But Laban never offered him 1 cow or 1 sheep. That is the greed of the man. And then, finally, after all of these years, after 14 years, he says, well, we'll make a new contract. What shall it be? And then he thinks that his son-in-law is a simpleton when he says, I don't want you to give me anything. He said, but just what's going to be born from now on, and it has to have these characteristics, let that be mine. And this is what is so remarkable, that when he made that agreement that was to such an advantage for Laban, still God made things turn out for Jacob. And when he did that, Laban said, do you know that agreement we had that you were going to get all the spotted and ring-streaked animals? He said, we're going to change that now. He said, I am going to get all the spotted and the ring-streaked now. And so Jacob said, all right, what could he do? But when Laban said that, all the cattle started producing the normal colored animals. And so there was nothing he could do. And you'll find out later that he had changed Jacob's wages 10 times. But every time he changed them, then the hand of God was upon Jacob. And the animals that were supposed to come to him, they came to him, whatever conditions Laban, his father-in-law, made. And so this just shows you how God takes care of his own. There may be those that cheat us for ever so long a time, but after 14 years, God in 6 years can make us wealthy. I want you to understand that some people have read this simple account, and it looks this way. 14 years for the wives of Jacob, and 6 more years to get all the cattle. But some will say, no, it's an additional 20 years. It's 40 years in all. It's the way that they read it. But a simple looking of the text tells us that he's been there just 20 years. For this reason, the last child of Jacob is born on his way back to see his father. Rachel is with child, and she gives birth to Benjamin. But think now, let's say that she was 20 years of age when she married Jacob. 40 years later, she's 60 years of age. Now, since they lived longer, women could have children that much later in life, but when it came to Sarah, God had to miraculously intervene to cause her to have Isaac in her old age. But some say, no, instead of 20 years, it's 40 years. I take it that all of these things happened in the 20 years, the 14 for the 2 wives and the 6 years for serving Laban to provide for his family in the future. So this is a remarkable thing, the great patience of Jacob. I wonder if he were thinking and planning all these years, or if he were planning to go home with absolutely nothing. Think, I'm wondering, had Laban said, yes, you've worked 14 years for me, go on home now. I wonder if he would have given him anything to take home to enable him to go home. It may have been that he was so filled with greed, he would say, get home the best way you can. And so this is why in the Bible you find some that are fathers-in-law, that are men of God and are good and generous, and you find others that are criminal in their actions. And so that is why, if Jacob were able to outsmart him, I would have no sympathy for Laban at all. But what happens is this, whereas Isaac may have tried to outsmart God when he wanted to give the blessing to Esau rather than Jacob, but God changed all of that. And in like manner, here is Jacob, and God, if he wanted to, he allowed Laban to outsmart Jacob when it came to his two daughters, but in this instance, Laban, who is his superior in strategy, God says, you're not going to outsmart my servant Jacob now. And so he changes all of the thinking and all of the tricks of Laban, and he turns them into the favor of Jacob. So that this man, who after 20 years would have had nothing to show for all his labor, would have nothing to provide for his family, now it says he was rich in cattle. Let me show you how good a businessman Jacob was. It seems like it was poor for 14 years, but finally, when he started getting something of his own, it said that he had cattle, and he had sheep and goats and camels and asses, and he had men servants and maid servants. What does it mean? It means that when God started giving him these animals, he was able to trade them. He was able to shear the sheep and sell the wool, and then he got others to work for him. And finally, with all of his business acumen, he was a well-to-do man. And what he did was to enrich Jacob, and now Laban, his father-in-law, is impoverished. So, I have no sympathy for Laban, because he, in a dishonest way, would have done everything, taking advantage of the simplicity of the agreement that his son-in-law made as to what his wages would be. He was delighted with that. But instead, God turned, reversed the thinking, and gave the benefit to Jacob, and he took the benefit away from Laban. Why? For the simple reason that God had made a promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob that certain blessings were going to be theirs, not because of their goodness, but in spite of their shortcomings and their failures. And we see it no more strongly than in the case of Jacob. One thing more, this. When Jacob had labored for all of these years, he wanted Rachel to be his wife, and he wanted and expected her offspring to be the Messianic line. And so finally, after 14 years, Joseph was born, and Jacob would say, here is the wife that I love, and here is my son, just as I was Isaac's son. And here am I, and now through my wife that I loved, I have a son, and the line can go on. But he was wrong there for this reason. He did not love Leah as much as he did Rachel, and God saw that, and he opened the womb of Leah and let her have all of these children. And the remarkable thing is this, Jacob thought that probably the messianic line would go through Joseph. But instead, God took that despised wife, Leah, and she is the one that produced Judah. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, her fourth son. And God said, the blessing is going to come through Judah. So strange are the ways of God, but they are faithful. And let us remember that no matter how much the world tricks us, God is smarter than anyone in the world, and he can care for his own. Our time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that you've shown us in such a down-to-earth way the things that happen when we try to go through life. Not great things, but simply getting married and having children. And then, as you've told us, we have to provide for our own household. If a man doesn't provide for his own household, he's worse than an infidel. And so we are thankful, our God, that Jacob was able to do this. He gave them food and covering at first, and then through your goodness and generosity, he was able to enrich them. And so, our Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We pray, our God, that we shall remember the agreement that Jacob made with you in that prayer. If you will feed me and shelter me, O God, you shall be my God. And we think about what portion should be ours. And we remember that Paul tells us, having food and raiment, we shall be content. And thou dost know, our God, that we have abundance of food and raiment. And so you are faithful. So forgive us for being filled with greed and wanting more when you had promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us. But our God, you have not promised abundance of things, but you promised food and clothing and shelter. And so, our God, let us learn from the lessons from the life of Jacob, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.